Good evening, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to another special draft day edition of Railbird Central. It is day two of the draft. It is the end of round two. Or is it? Did they make it to round three? It's pick 61. That's round two, right? I get confused with the New Orleans Saints getting that pick taken away from them. But anyhow, the Packers have now traded up for the second time this draft to take Vanderbilt cornerback Casey Hayward. To analyze this selection, we have on the phone right now Max Ginsburg of our Pro Football Draft Preview, who did the cornerback section. Max, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Brian. How you doing?
Fantastic. The Packers are certainly wasting no time adding to the defensive side of the football. How much better is this Packers defense going to be this year, Max?
You know, I think they're going to be much improved. You know, you take the first two picks, the D-lineman and, you know, the projected outside linebacker, and as long as one of those guys gets to the quarterback, I think this draft is a success. You add Hayward in the mix, and, you know, I think I don't know where he's going to line up. I guess, you know, we'll find out in the press conference. They say corner, but this would be the first 5'11 cornerback that Ted's drafted. I mean, I don't think he's drafted anyone else that small.
He has drafted 5'11 cornerbacks. I got the official listing here, 5'11 and a corner and a quarter. You know, Sam Shields is 5'11. Tremon Williams is 5'11. Usually they like to go over 6 feet, but it hasn't been unheard of that they've gone 5'11 or so, but you know, you did the section on the cornerbacks. What did you see from Casey Hayward?
From Hayward, everything, you know, anyone you read or anything you read about Hayward, they all mention ball hawk. You know, he's a smart player. He'd be a Ted Thompson kind of pick in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, he went to Vanderbilt.
right. Yeah, so, you know, he's smart, productive, playmaker. You know, that's just the kind of guy he is. He seems like he's going to fit anywhere in a scheme. And, you know, as you've been writing about a lot about the Packers going to, you know, who knows what they're going to do next season, even though McCarthy says, you know, we're going to play more 3-4 base, but they're going to run some sort of hybrid. You know, this guy, he can play it. He can play anywhere he needs to play.
Any feeling about whether he'll play cornerback or safety? He played totally cornerback in college. The speed isn't quite there. I think that's what's forcing this a little bit, perhaps. He doesn't have elite speed. Any guess as to where he might play with the Packers?
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah.
He played corner. You got to expect he's going to start there. He's not going to have to come in right away and be the star. You know, they drafted Devon House last year, who was, I would think would start ahead of him, but maybe, you know, you draft a guy in the second round, you want him to come in and do something right away. But, you know, if he can come in and contribute this year and get coached up, he'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we can go through the options here a little bit. I mean, where does he fit in, perhaps at safety? Where does he fit in at cornerback? Who would move? Would anybody move? Is he good enough to start? You can answer any one of these questions, Max.
Yeah, you know, with Sam Shields here last year, I'd expect him to improve. I think he'd have to. You know, with an offseason under his belt, I think he would improve. So I don't see Hayward coming in and breaking the, you know, the starting rotation. But you never know. I mean, maybe he comes out and looks great. Obviously Thompson thought a lot of him and the scouting department thought a lot of him if he traded up and took him in the second round. You know, Hayward's versatile enough. He could maybe be a safety behind Burnett or Pepra, and I don't know, maybe he's an option back there, I guess. Take a look.
Yeah, I mean, it really is anybody's guess at this point. It could be an option, too, where you just bring him in and see where he fits, I suppose. You know, see where he's best once he's in there. I mean, there's really no set place that he has to be. So who really knows? Talk a little bit about the level of competition he played against. He played in the SEC. Some pretty good football being played down there.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if you're a ball hawk down there, if you're known to be a ball hawk and playmaker in that conference, you know, you're talking a lot of competition, good competition. That's a lot of guys that already been drafted, and you know he's got to be pretty good. And you talk about just the competition now on the team with the Packers. You know, he's got Charles Woodson to learn from, who's as much a coach as he is a player, and as good at both. You know, he excels at both things there. And you don't have to come in and succeed right away and be a star. You know, he can come in and play special teams. He can play corner. You know, if they need a safety, maybe they look at him there. You got to think, for anyone drafted by the Packers, that this is an ideal situation. He doesn't have to perform right away. He's got great coaching staff. He's got a great team. Comes in, he learns, and we'll see what we have here.
I asked Paul Guillemette this in the second round pick when the Packers traded up to pick Drell Worthy. I'll ask you the same now. The Packers traded up to get Casey Hayward. Was it worth it? Do you think the Packers made a good choice in choosing to trade up into the 61st spot in the draft to take Hayward? From what I hear, they gave up a fifth rounder in addition to what, their third? So do you think it was worth it?
You know, in Ted we trust. If Ted thinks it's worth it, I think it's worth it. you know, these guys, you know, Ted will come down to the podium and say how, you know, we targeted this guy and we knew we had a chance to get him, so we moved up and got him. You know, if they think that highly of him, I guess I trust the scouting department there. You know, he could be pretty good.
How good will the Packers defense be in 2012? I mean, last in NFL history, the worst in NFL history against the pass last year. They gave up the most passing yards ever. I mean, are these picks not only Hayward, but I mean, is the pass rush from Nick Perry and Jurrell Worthy gonna, all these things together gonna be enough to make a big difference this year, do you think?
Well, they have to be better, right?
They can't be worse.
Hopefully not. Hopefully they don't set any more records. You know, you talk about the Packers and Ted Thompson always talking, taking the best player available. But you're talking three picks right here, two pass rushers, and a DB. You're addressing the obvious need of getting at the quarterback and then defending the ball once it's there, defending the pass. You know, these, I think, were the best defensive players available they picked. And I think that's kind of a little more of the philosophy that happens there. I think that as much as Ted Thompson likes to take the best player, I wouldn't say his hands were tied, but, you know, everyone in the building knew there was no defense. They needed defense. So I think that, you know, the fact they traded up and got the guys they wanted is better than waiting and seeing who's there and then taking the best defensive players there. You know, why not go out and get the guys you want? And it's not like you need to stockpile players in this team or this roster. I mean, Ted will fill this roster once, you know, when the draft ends, the next hour, he'll fill it up. You know, they get 90 positions now. He'll find plenty of street free agents to come in. But these guys, you know, get those guys in, plug a few holes, and the defense, I think, will be much better.
I'm just reading here. There's comments about moving Woodson to safety. They're obviously asking this to Dom Capers. Let's see, our experience with Charles is a bright guy. It's not like it'd be a radical move. Not saying with certainty Woodson will move to safety, but they're talking about that possibility. Very interesting. Max, where do you think the Packers go from here? So it looks like they're done for the rest of the night. But you know, they have the 2 fourth-round picks tomorrow and a lot more later in the draft yet. Is it time finally to start hitting the offensive side of the football?
You know, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. I think the offense is doing pretty well. But I couldn't see Ted Thompson with their whole draft not taking somebody on the offensive side of the ball. So it's got to be coming here soon. You know, going back to Woodson at safety, didn't Capers just say, or maybe McCarthy just said, you know, in the offseason that Woodson isn't moving. But, you know, I don't know why you want to take him away from what he does best anyway. I think Capers is going to use him in sort of a hybrid position anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, this is. I think that Hayward and then Devon Huff last year, these guys are just guys to develop for when Woodson finally does retire. You know, then they'll have players like that. But, you know, I don't know. I think they got what they needed on defense. I think if you're a Packers fan, you look at this draft, you look at the first two rounds, and you say they addressed exactly what they needed to do. They got the players that they thought they needed and went defense, which I thought everyone thought they were going to do.
The tweet from Packer Report here, I think this is just his own opinion here, Bill Huber's. Woodson's role could change week to week. Depends on the game plan, who you're playing. Interesting times ahead for the Packers. Max, thank you so much for joining us here on draft night here at CheeseheadTV.com. I appreciate it because you've got a sick baby at home and even chose to stay home instead of driving all the way to Madison this weekend for the Crazy Legs.
Right, you know, I was going to be in the Crazy Legs and be drinking beer in Camp Randall, but I don't think the sick 10-month-old would have fared so well there.
Should we make up a rumor and said you did it just to join us tonight and here on Cheesehead TV?
Hey, it's not even rumor. I'm glad to be on Cheesehead TV tonight.
Max, thanks again. Have a good time, and who knows, maybe I'll be talking to you one other time before the draft is over.
Sounds good, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, take care. Max Ginsburg, Pro Football Draft Preview, the blog, purplepantsgreenjersey.com, also contributes at cheeseheadtv.com. Folks, glad to have Max joining us. I'm excited. I am ecstatic with the Packers draft so far. I suppose this is what happens when you go ahead and you draft needs. You know, you don't know how these guys are going to do, but you always like to see the Packers addressing needs. And here they go. They get all over the board on the defensive side of the football. And when you give up the most passing yards in NFL history, it's hard not to like it. I've opened up the phone line here. If you want to call in, share your 2 cents. Phone number, area code 347-352-0154. And while I wait for any phone calls, I again just wanted to get out the old Pro Football Draft Preview Bible here and talk about the positives and the negatives of Casey Hayward here. Good starting with the positives. Good size, quick feet, and flexible hip swivel. Keen eyes, instincts, and anticipation, is aware in zone and maintains field leverage. Excellent ball skills and production, tracks throws, competes in the air and has hands to intercept, very good closing burst, bested all combine cornerback participants with a time of 3.90 seconds in short shuttle, has special teams experience as a jammer, energetic, smart, and durable. So those are your positives, and really, I mean, we are seeing durable players drafted by the Packers this year. Perry, Worthy, Hayward, none of these guys have missed a whole lot of playing time in their college careers. Packers really staying away from injury risks so far this year. The negatives on Hayward: short arms, speed, and physicality are just adequate. Has some man cover limitations, plays upright, shows some wasted movement in transition, and gives up separation on non-vertical routes. Stressed by sudden receivers, gets caught peeking in the backfield and bites on double moves. Average recovery and burst and catching up speed. Soft in run support, plays small, struggles to break down, and is a weak, low tackler. The summary on him: a lean, instinctive, battle-tested ball hawk, Hayward is a finesse zone cornerback at his best, reading through the receiver to the quarterback. Tackling is his main drawback, but has appealing ball skills to hold down the job as a number three. There you go. I mean, I love it. I love it. I like Casey Hayward. He played in the SEC, played against some big-time receivers. You know, start naming SEC receivers that this guy was guarding and all the interceptions he had. There's a lot of competition in the secondary now. I don't know where Casey Hayward's going to play. I would have guessed that he would play cornerback. I think that's where they'll start with him, maybe. And, of course, now the speculation is Charles Woodson will be moved to safety. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? You know, Bill Huber speculating that the Woodson's role will you know, change by the week. I love Charles Woodson as a slot cornerback. I don't like it so much when he's out on the perimeter, but I do like it when he's defending the slot, blitzing from there, his run support, and I do think he can hang with guys if as long as he doesn't have to go with them far downfield. I love that about Charles Woodson. I don't want to see him moving from that. But I mean, if Casey Hayward's the real deal, I mean, do you want to get him out in the field? And let's assume for a second Hayward stays at cornerback. Okay, you've got four cornerbacks now. You've got Tremont Williams, Sam Shields, Devon House, and Casey Hayward. Wow, the cream is going to rise to the top there. That's the way I see it. I mean, those guys are going to have to fight for some playing time. I would think Tremont Williams is almost, you know, set. He's locked in to a starting job. But I'm not so sure about everybody else. You know, Sam Shields, he's got good cover skills, terrible in run support, terrible, and seemed to regress from his rookie season. There's potential there, no doubt about it. I'm not discounting Sam Shields at all. He just needs to take a step up. He just needs to take a step up. Devon House, disappointing rookie season, but he was just a rookie. I can't fault almost any rookie when they don't play a whole lot. And House did play a little bit. Very little, though. He was only active a handful of games on the season. But, I don't know what to make of Devon House. The fact that, you know, he didn't play hardly at all was not, you know, that good of a sign. I mean, if Sam Shields could play in his rookie year, why couldn't Devon House? You know, a guy who was a fourth-round draft choice, a guy who they thought highly enough of, to take there. And now you got Hayward coming in, and we obviously don't know what we have in Casey Hayward yet, but here's a guy who's, you know, a second-day draft choice and going to come in and, compete for a job, compete for playing time, and you just hope, as I said, the cream rises to the top. I mean, you hope that no matter who's out there, I mean, they've earned it. It'll be a battle between all these guys throughout OTAs, minicamp, training camp, and that's going to be exciting. Folks, start planning now. There's during the OTAs and minicamp, there's going to be these practices open to the public. There's going to be some battles. These guys are playing for keeps in minicamp. They're going to be fighting for playing time. Check it out there at Ray Nitschke Field in Green Bay. Man, if I can make it, I'm going to go. I want to see these guys. I mean, Devon House, Sam Shields, Casey Hayward, all young guys within the first 3 years of their rookie year. They're going to be duking it out. They're probably not even going to like each other. They're going to be all fighting for playing time. I'm sure they'll get along just fine. At least I hope they do. But as I'm saying here, I love this draft so far. Love it. I mean, the Packers have drafted almost seemingly every need on the defensive side of the football, and still picks to come. Now they've gotten rid of a couple, so the Packers appear to be done tonight, unless they trade up again. I can't see that happening tonight. They got rid of their fourth rounder, their original, the pick everybody gets in the fourth round, but they have two comp picks tomorrow in the fourth that they can't trade. So the Packers are picking two more guys in the fourth round tomorrow, no matter what, whether they want to or not. Of course they want to, but they can't trade them away. So they have to take them. So that's, there you go. Two more. And within the first four rounds, they're going to get five, hopefully good players, could finally start addressing the offensive side of the football. Maybe. We'll see. I mean, they're just going to take the best player available. Packers going to need a backup quarterback, though. Going to need a center you know, interior offensive line. Could still use a tackle now that Chad Clifton has been released. Fullback. I don't think the Packers grab a fullback in the fourth round, but maybe late in the draft. I could definitely see him going after a fullback now that John Kuhn is injured and trying to make a comeback. That's the most underrated need on the team, I think, right now. Fullback. Got a phone call. Gonna take it here. Hello, you're on Cheesehead TV. Who do we have joining us?
Hey, Brian, this is Jesse in Austin.
Hey, Jesse, how you doing today?
Oh, just peachy. This is great. This is pretty awesome.
What are your thoughts?
It's a boomer bust draft, big time. I think they definitely got the talent they need. I mean, at any rate, the defense is going to be much better next year than it was this past year. I mean, barring catastrophic injuries, I think it's probable that they're going to put Burnett back in center field and move Woodson to a strong safety type role more often. He just simply doesn't have the speed anymore to compete outside the hashes. He just doesn't. He can deal out some hits. He can cause fumbles. He breaks up passes when they're slot receivers. He still jams well. He blitzes well, but he can't do it all like he used to. Losing Collins hurts, but I think the defense got a heck of a lot better. How good? I don't know. Those top two picks, both of them, Worthy and Perry, are boom or bust. Yeah, they could be all pros, and they could be washouts in 2 or 3 years. I mean, it concerns me when I see guys aren't, you know, you hear that high motor tag. So, and neither of those guys have that tag. They both took a number of plays off in the season. So you're just hoping that the coaches can get them motivated and their peers can get them motivated. And, you know, all we need is a mediocre, middle-of-the-road defense that can stop people once in a while. I mean, offense is pretty stacked throughout. I disagree, by the way, about fullback. I think that the tight ends could be used as a fullback role in a pinch. But other than center, I just think the offense is just going to keep rolling. You got to re-sign TJ Lang, and you got to hope that one of the two young guys at left tackle makes that jump. But other than that, I mean, we're going to be rolling. The defense, you just, after four games, you get Neal back, and who knows what you got there, but he has talent. So, you know, anything you get from him is a bonus. You've got Worthy now, and Raji and Pickett still on the front line, and, you know, who knows what happens with Hawk and DJ Smith. I think it's a much more solid team all around than it was last year.
I think that's fair with the boom or bust. You know, certainly, as you mentioned, the first two picks, especially two guys who, as they say, don't have that motor. Do you think perhaps that this was uncharacteristic of the Packers taking that type of player who, you know, maybe might not give as much of an effort as maybe they should?
Yeah, well, I do, and the reason I do is that it was so obvious last year. It was so obvious that if A-Rod threw one interception or the defense failed to get a turnover at least two times a game, we were going to lose. And we played that game, the high-stakes chicken, every week for 16 friggin' weeks, and it got real old. I mean, they needed help. They didn't have any talent. Neal flamed out last year. Pickett's getting up there. Raji tried to do too much. Hawk just sucks when he's not getting, you know, he's not getting off blocks when he has to deal with guards. And Clay can't do it himself. Woodson got old. Nick got hurt. I mean, it was a comedy of errors. So they needed the help. The Perry pick, I get that they're comfortable with it, but you got to think, something I was thinking last night is, I think the Shea McClellan is a terrible pick for the Bears. He's too small for a defensive end, mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, Nick Perry would have been somebody that they would want, and, you know, everybody was saying Shea to the Packers. It was kind of funny. I think Nick is a better pick for us than Shea is for the Bears.
So, yeah, I've heard a lot of people say it would be almost better if the Packers and the Bears swapped picks. It would seem like Perry fits more the 4-3 and McClellan fits more the 3-4. I mean, we'll find out, but I mean, that's just what I've heard. Do you think the secondary will get better with a better pass rush in front of them this year? You know, with Perry and maybe Worthy providing a pass rush, maybe the defensive backs don't have to cover for so long.
Oh, absolutely. And you think about it, if Worthy is half as good as advertised, and if anybody can, you know, light a fire in him, it's going to be Turgovac. He's going to rip him if Worthy's not given 100% all the time. Raji is going to have some breaks, and he's going to be better, and he's not going to have to take on triple teams. I mean, last year it was a joke. You watched six people stay in the pass block, three guys blocked Clay Matthews, and three guys blocked Raji, and Pickett stood his ground, and that was it. So, you know, it's going to get better, it's without a doubt. What you have to look for is, can Burnett make the jump to being a very, very quality and consistent starter? And, I mean, assuming Woodson moves to safety, who's gonna make that jump? Is it going to be Shields, or is it going to be House, or is it going to be Hayward? I mean, they've got some depth in the secondary now that they didn't, and you'd think they're going to trust DJ Smith more. So if Hawk isn't fitting the bill, you know, he's going to end up benched. So, I mean, assuming injuries don't just strike catastrophically, it looks like a really good unit on paper. Not a, you know, number one defense in the NFL good, but it doesn't have to be.
So where do the Packers go from here in the draft? Do you continue to try to build this defense, or do you finally try to find an offensive lineman or a running back in the later rounds?
Well, it sounds to me like Green is coming back strong. And I'd be surprised if they don't re-sign Glant, assuming they don't draft a running back. I mean, top order of business to me now that the Collins thing is done, and that's really sad, by the way. And if the Vikings pick him up, I'm going to personally drive to Minnesota and beat some face. the top issue to me is you've got to re-sign T.J. Lang before he starts. You know, if he's going to improve again next year, you're going to have to pay top money for a guard, and we don't have that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you just take best player available at this point, and where it happens to be, it happens to be.
Yeah.
I think that they made the right choice. I mean, trading up and getting rid of, there's no way 12 draft picks were going to make this team. No way.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the bottom end of the roster is really, really good. They needed some top-end talent on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, boom or bust, cross our fingers, you know, let's hope they get it. Oh, and by the way, I think I read last year, Perry played at like 248 or 252 last fall at Southern Cal, and he put on all that weight to try and up his bench press and his vertical and stuff like that. And I would bet they ask him to cut it again. You know, he said he's never played at 270, so I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it at all. Jesse, I can't complain with what you said. It makes a lot of sense. Thanks for calling in here to Cheesehead TV, and enjoy the rest of the draft.
You too, sir. Thank you.
All right. Jesse, calling in from Austin, Texas, checking in on the show. Fantastic. If anybody else wants to call in, feel free here as we analyze the Packers draft, the new additions to the Green Bay Packers and their defense. Can they get back to the promised land this year? Woot comments on the live blog. Chris Polk and Russell Wilson in the fourth. Think so? Think those guys will last till the end of the fourth round? Be nice, maybe. I could get on board with those guys in the fourth. I'm less convinced about Russell Wilson. I'm a Kirk Cousins guy. Really like Kirk Cousins. I love Russell Wilson the person. Who doesn't, right? Everybody loves Russell Wilson. I mean, you can't find anything bad about the guy, but I just do, from a physical standpoint, am skeptical. I'm skeptical. But Russell, prove me wrong. You know, Here we go. The Packers defense this year being added to. Here we go. The question on the live blog. Who do you love more? Russell Wilson, the person, Russell Wilson, the player. Oh, man. My vote is the person. I love the person. No doubt about that. I'm just unsure about the player. I wasn't unsure about him in college. You can get by in college at that size. I'm not sure you can get by in the NFL at that size. There's Doug Flutie. And really, I think that is the most accurate comparison to Russell Wilson would be Doug Flutie. He likes Drew Brees, but I don't think Russell Wilson is Drew Brees. I think he's Doug Flutie. If Russell Wilson could be Doug Flutie, I'll take that as a backup quarterback. I'll take that. I like Doug Flutie, Flutie Flakes. I loved him. Maybe more because of the Flutie Flakes, but he was a solid player. I mean, if you're getting that from a mid-round quarterback, you take that. You'll take that. But still, loving Kirk Cousins, though. Wish the Packers could get... I like some other guys as well. I like B.J. Coleman. I like Chandler Harnish. I'm skeptical, but I could get on board with Nick Foles and Ryan Lindley as well. So could see those things happening. Running back, I'm not big on running backs. You know, the Packers just don't use them enough. Not that I would, certainly complain if the Packers grabbed a late round running back. I mean, when you're in the seventh round, I don't really care where the Packers pick. You just hope they're making the right choice and hope that they're, taking the best guy possible and they pan out. But I mean, I'm not going to complain at any position the Packers, take a player at here. So I saw a little pushback from not only Jesse on the live blog as well, my fullback comments. I just see John Kuhn injured here, and that worries me a little bit. I see that maybe the tight ends can fill in there. I just go to my mock draft as Zach Cruz and myself in mock four and taking Emil Iguanagu. I really love that guy. I mean, he's a late round guy. I don't even know why I'm talking about him right now, but I could see the Packers adding somebody like that. You know, he's almost the H-back type. You know, he's, I don't know how great of a fullback he's going to be. I don't even know if the Packers really need the fullback, but I mean, John Kuhn has played well for him. He certainly has helped them win a Super Bowl. No doubt about that. Here we go. Paul J says, let's use our picks on defense and the O-line. Got to get a center at some time, you think. Before the draft is over, got to get a center. Who that's going to be, I don't know. I would assume, by the time the Packers pick again, Ben Jones is going to be gone. Michael Brewster from Ohio State's going to be gone. Maybe some guys are going to be around like Phillip Blake of Baylor, David Mulk of Michigan, Quentin Salisbury, Mississippi State. Those are the suspects at center you're looking at. Packers hopefully grab one of them. I'm less enthused about some of the other centers in the draft. Garth Gerhart, maybe of Arizona State. I like Scott Wettage of Northern Illinois. He's a definite late rounder, though. William Vlachos of Alabama. I'm dubious about him. But anyway, at some point, you'd think the Packers will address the center position because Packers might only have Jeff Saturday for 1 year, perhaps. You know, who knows what's going to happen with Jeff Saturday? Will he be around for one or two? Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here tonight. We've had such a big crowd joining us, not only on the broadcast, but the live blog as well. Great to have everybody around. We're going to keep the live blog going to the end of the round, no matter what happens with the Packers. So make sure to stick around, keep chatting away. I'm going to take off here, folks, but I'll be back tomorrow again after every round. I'll be back on air analyzing what the Packers do. So fourth round tomorrow after they make their comp picks. We'll wait till they make them both. but we'll do some analyzing again tomorrow. I'm out of here. I'm going to be posting some stuff on Jarrell Worthy, Casey Hayward, so stick around for that, and make sure to check that out at cheeseheadtv.com. See everyone. Enjoy the rest of the draft. Go Pack, go. Enjoy it. The defense is getting better. At least we hope. See everyone.